Hello, and welcome to another episode of Character Reveal. It's that show where we, you know, reveal characters, see what people are about, what they're really into. As always, I am your host, Dom, aka Brother Dom on the internet. You can find me anywhere on that kind of thing. I'm having a great day today, really excited about our show, so we'll just jump right into it. But before we do, as always, I am joined by my cool co-host. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, hello, I am Stephanie. I am the Snow Queer on Tumblr. I'm Captain Steph on the Twitters.
How are you doing today, Steph?
I'm having slightly, probably less of a good day than you, but I am glad to be here and home and recording, so.
Excellent, excellent. So, I know you were getting some stuff together with your computer, so this will be probably one of our last episodes sounding quite like we do today, but future things are on the horizon, so.
Yep.
So, listeners, lovely listeners, we have a great guest for you. This guy is, just a lot of esteem. You know, I could give this great intro, but I'd rather just hand the reins on to him. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hey, everybody. This is Khalif Adams, one third of the Spawn on Me podcast. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be on with you guys.
Yeah, sure thing. How are you doing today, man?
I'm good. I'm having a good day. It's been an interesting long week getting ready for PAX that's happening, end of this week and then the beginning of next.
Oh, it's coming quick.
It's nuts. I always forget what time and what part of the year PAX is going to be because there's like 17 PAXes at this point.
Yeah, exactly 17.
But yeah, just getting ready for that, doing the show, getting that stuff together and chilling and hanging out with y'all.
Great, great. So for those who don't know, they're missing out, but what all is it that you do? What's Spawn on Me? What is the cool stuff that you do, Mr. Adams?
I run the social media channels. I produce the show. If you aren't familiar with what we do at Spawn on Me, we are a gaming podcast that is helping to spotlight and showcase people of color in the industry. We've been doing it for about 3 years. It's myself and my two co-hosts, Cicero Holmes and Sharif Jackson. And what we do is we try to have great conversations. We bring on some guests and talk about, what they do in the gaming sphere, both from the small kind of indie side and also some folks that are more well-known on the AAA side and some writers and developers in between. And we talk to them about, you know, what their games are going to be about. But we also have an aspect in which we talk about social justice issues and race and gender and a whole bunch of other things that affect marginalized people in America and around the world.
Excellent. You know, it's I feel like I started listening to you guys. I'm not sure what really got me into it, but I remember your famous episode where back in 2014, when that event that shall not be named happened, you and your co-hosts just absolutely went off and were like, yo, the whole gaming sphere, it's got to get better, man. Companies are liable. This is nonsense. But I remember you guys were some of the first male voices, it seemed like, to actually publicly outcry like the sexism that was happening in the games industry. And when I heard that, I was like, man, these are some serious guys. They're really about it. So big fan ever since then, man. You guys really hit a specific angle that I haven't really heard in a lot of other shows in the nerdy sphere, gaming or otherwise. A lot of people kind of skip over the social aspects of a lot of this, but you guys tackle it head on. But also, it doesn't fall into just a social justice show. Sometimes you're like, hey man, that new 2K, it was a great game.
Yeah, I think it's important, and thank you for that. I'm super proud of the fact that we were one of the first kind of gaming shows, gaming podcasts to really go after and talk about those folks in a real way, because it was important then and it's important now to stick up for folks who are being crapped on for no reason. And kind of sticking our nose in businesses where we do belong. I like when people are like, nah, you know, we can't talk about that thing because that's it's a social issue, or, you know, we don't like to talk about race. We're colorblind. And I'm like, no, I'm a Negro. I'm black. I'm here. you need to see me for all the things that I am. And we get to talk about that through the vision and prism of gaming as being our favorite hobby. It's been a fun couple of years to kind of tackle everything in between and the hard stuff, because I think it's ingratiated ourselves into a lot of people's living rooms and earphones and headphones and earbuds. If you have an earphone, I want to see it because that would be real dope. But I think it's been, you know, one of the things that when we started the show, Cicero and I, we talked about what we wanted to be our kind of mantra, our ethos, our mission statement. And being able to have these conversations when no one else was actually doing it. I think that is the thing that we're super proud about, too. Like, I don't think there are very many shows that were doing what we were doing when we started it.
No, not that I could tell.
Yeah, and I think we carved our own lane in that way that was respectful of being nuanced, which I think is something that we tout and applaud ourselves for doing, because we think that that's the best way to kind of bring people into a conversation that's hard. Is to start from a nuanced position and then work your way into a ratchet, I'm cussing you out. No, I'm just playing.
Hey, sometimes you got to take it to them lengths, man.
Yeah, sometimes it's necessary. Like, you have to be able to kind of plant your feet in a way that is not one out of frustration and or being stubborn, but knowing that the facts will support it, right? And saying that, hey, there are very few things that you'll be able to tell me right now that'll make me change my mind. And it's not because I'm trying to fight you. It's because the facts support it. History supports it. And also, you may not necessarily have the prism to kind of see those things through that I have had and we have had. And, you know, brown people of color, marginalized folks have had. And maybe you should step back for a second and think about that. And then we can have this conversation again when you've done that and bring the people into it in a way that's helpful and doesn't push them away. Because I think that's the only way that race relations gets better. The gaming sphere as a whole gets better, where we have more representation and a lot of things that we see as really problem points kind of move forward.
Okay. So I have a question for you on an opinion kind of thing. You know, this whole conversation is really free form, so we're kind of just building it as we go. But does it seem like there's sort of, I'm not going to say that video games or nerdy spaces are the forefront of race relations or gender relations. They far from are not. But it seems like we're having these conversations a lot more than other spaces. Do you have any idea why that might be?
I mean, I think it. I think there are a lot of spaces where through geek and nerd culture, and we see it often kind of now bubbling up through the comic book space a lot, where we see a lot of characters kind of moving and changing and gender swapping and race swapping.
Mary Jane's black.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like that kind of stuff gives the ability when people aren't real, quote unquote real, I'm throwing up air quotes, to do what you want to do in those spaces and change things around and move them forward and push them in different directions that they weren't before because people were lazy. And I think that in the gaming space specifically, we're all talking about these digital, you know, digital aspects, digital characters that really can be whatever you want. But the fact that people don't understand that and can't come to grips with that because they have whatever worldview that they've kind of grown up with and the things that have come along with society and society that's kind of built around white supremacy, which is a whole other issue. We see that conversation is moving. It's moving slowly with a lot of pushback. But people are kind of still holding it down and saying, you know what, we are here and we are Legion. No, I'm just playing. But we're here and we have an opportunity to talk about these things in a real way from our perspective. And just because you don't share it doesn't mean that it's not real and it's not here and that it hasn't been here forever. So you need to figure out what you're going to do while we keep taking this train and moving it forward. You're either going to get on or you're going to get left behind. So it's a lot of that in the geek space that I'm seeing right now, which is super dope.
For sure.
I think also, at least as far as my expertise is more on like the convention side of things and in comic books. But I think the convention side of things is providing like kind of a boiling point at each convention to either, not a boiling point as much as a line in the sand, like here is what's going on, you have to take a stand against this or we're not going to like be okay with your con anymore, like the like harassment policies and stuff like that. You don't see that in everyday life. You don't see clothing is not consent marked up in like in a bar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a good point actually. Yeah,
you don't have to you still have to deal with those issues in outside the con space, but you also, they're more diluted outside the con space because like cosplay, for example, is so performative and so like people look at it and they see a girl, but the girl is dressed as Red Sonja or something in a metal bikini, and they think, oh, I love Red Sonja. I want to touch her boobs. Like,
right.
Which is not a good look.
Yeah.
No, it's so, not a good look.
So I think it.
For sure. So I never really thought about that in the sense that the convention space kind of is this hyper-focused vision of what's going on in the world. You know, when you see me walking down the street, you see a black guy, you know, that's what I am. So there's no frame of reference for you to question that or question like, oh, why is he black? He was born that way. Why is that woman wearing like a cardigan or something? She just is wearing that. Like, you don't have to really process. Yeah. You don't have to think about that. But in the convention space, I can dress up as, say, Batman, Tony Stark, someone who's not black. So the interesting thing is I'll go to all the effort to get like a really perfect Iron Man. Well, if anyone knows me doing cosplay, you know I'm not going to put the effort in. but let's say everything's perfect except for quote unquote perfect the skin color. It'll point that out as, hey, this isn't artistically correct, so why is it different? Oh, there's no reason why Iron Man has to be black, or this isn't actually him. And when you see a woman wearing something a little bit more, I guess what people would call risque, I don't know, would you whatever you'd want to call it, mm-hmm. It has to put that in your face, like, hey, this is still a person. You can't just violate her rights because whatever reason you want to make up in your head. Whereas out in public, you don't really see that. People are more toned down. So I think the overtones in nerd stuff kind of makes us think about real life people more, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all a kind of cipher for, think about it. This is most of pop culture. Most of the ones that have been super popular over the years and decades have been so because they are specific reflections of what are happening in the greater society as a whole at that time and period. So like the X-Men came about because of came out of the want for more racial equality, right?
Sure.
So it was the reason why the X-Men became an actual thing. There were, you know, direct connections between those parts. So you have that as a thing. So then you have people talking about the issues that are happening now and seeing how Mary Jane is now black, and we have so many other characters who are, you know, coming up and bubbling up with Black Panther being another one that's been there for a long time, but also now is getting pushed to the forefront, where that pro Africa, pro black character now has a platform to be able to be relevant in a time where we see all this racial injustice happening. So, I mean, even more, not racial injustice, but more racial conversations about protests and about what we can do better as far as being a society. And also black people as a whole kind of talking about not having discussions about social inequity and racial inequity and doing it through this really nice kind of lens that we saw during the movements of the 60s, where we had very varying sides of that. But people were like, well, the nonviolent movement was the one that was the best one because that was the one that got everything pushed across. But it was like, no, there were lots of other movements within that sphere that moved right. things forward. And those are just as valid and okay to have been there. And we see that now kind of being in the space too with BLM. So, you know, I'd like to see more of those aspects come to the forefront when we have talks about geek spaces and con spaces where people can, you know, come to a con in a Black Lives Matter jersey or a Black Lives Matter shirt and not feel like they have to kind of downplay their ability to say what they need to say through that cipher. I mean, it's a little bit different because it's a con and BLM isn't a costume, but right. it's that kind of conversation where you can express yourself through those means and feel like you'd still be safe, still be respected, and the silent message that you're sharing is still validated.
For sure. I think cons have kind of an implicit, even though nerd culture is mainstream, I still have the belief that to be the kind of person that would go to a convention and cosplay, you're still like, you're taking it to another level. Mm-hmm. Not to gatekeep it, you just literally are taking it to a level that most people aren't going to. And taking anything to an extreme, whether it be sports or nerd stuff or literally anything that the average person isn't going to do, you kind of feel like an outsider to an extent, you know. Even fantasy football players are kind of outside the typical football fan to an extent. So there's a level of, well, I'm already an outsider for some reason or another at this convention. Might as well completely be who I am because I can't in my 40-hour work week or my day-to-day. So you have a lot more people experimenting with gender expression, wearing shirts that are saying outlandish things to say, hey, I want someone to respond to this because this is how I feel, but I know I couldn't get away with saying this. Right. Or you know, maybe wearing things that you couldn't normally wear. Like, I don't have muscles, I don't have a good body, so I don't wear tank tops. But at a con, I feel a little bit more comfortable wearing a tank top sort of thing. So I think expressing ideas, like political beliefs, I feel like there's even a space for that at conventions because you tend to get less repercussions there. And if people would get mad, they're like, well, there's Street Fighter in the corner, I'll just go do that instead.
Yeah, I totally agree. Totally agree.
Cool stuff. So I have a question for you. This is kind of a personal question from me. Decided if I wanted to ask. How did you and your hosts meet, inform the great city of Brookhago? Because I've seen the billboards for Brookhago. I have seen the pamphlets for travel, but I've heard good things about it. But how did the city come to be founded?
It's funny because it came through in one of these most stereotypical black ways ever. Was I was playing some NBA 2K online. And Cicero, I was streaming. It was launch day for 2K, I think 15 or something to that effect. And I was streaming it on Twitch. And Cicero jumped into the room. He saw that I had like 300 and 400 folks in the room because I think I had it fairly early in the day. And I had a day off, so there were a lot of people in the room watching it.
Cool.
And he hit me up and said, you know, this is cool. You seem like a really cool cat. He looked me up online. He saw that I was running a blog called thespawnpointblog.com. And he's like, hey, are you looking for writers? And I was like, I am looking for writers. I've been doing this for like 3 years and I haven't had any help yet. So I would love some help. So I was like, give me your phone number. We'll jump on a call. And a call that was supposed to be, you know, 10, 15 minutes turned into a 2-hour conversation that kind of just ran the gamut of all the things that we are love as gamers and love as people who want to kind of see the space grow. And, you know, he asked me, you know, how'd you start writing? And I was like, I hated my job and I wanted to start writing. I suck as a writer, but I still want to do it anyway. And so that grew from that perspective into him being a writer for the blog. And then, you know, one day we sat down and said, you know what, I've always wanted to do a podcast. I just needed someone to rock with me. And I think you would be perfect for it. And it kind of Brookhago started from there with us two starting it off. Sharif Jackson was an interesting kind of addition because we had done a show prior to Spawn on Me that most people don't know about because it didn't show up anywhere really besides Google Hangouts. And it was called Character Select. So it was myself and five
Word,
other...
that was you guys, man. That was supposed to be the title of this show. That's where it took
it. That was us. Yeah, that was us.
So that's a good pun, right?
Yeah, no, it was perfect. It was perfect. So shout out to our buddy Barbado Slim, who that's his tag. He came up with the concept for Character Select and the name and all that stuff. So blame him.
Man, Barbado Slim just wrecking Hermes, and now he's wrecking me.
just knocking people out the box. So he's the person who came up with that, and we did a kind of 5-person panel every week, and just jumped online and talked a whole bunch of shit, and it was awesome. And a lot of fun. And Reef was a part of that because I met him through the This Week in Blackness group of folks that's run by Elon James White.
Yeah.
So we really became friends through that. He's awesome. He's a good dude. And we kind of, over the years, have become friends and kind of helped each other out with his stuff that he was doing. And once we started kind of moving along, he was like, I would really love to be a part of this. And is there a way that I could be down? And I was like, hey, you're one of the coolest, smartest cats I know. Having you as an addition to the show would be amazing and perfect. So, you know, he jumped on late or mid last year, and then we've been rolling since. It's been a good a good swath of time. It's moving really quickly, and it's making me feel old to see how fast things have kind of gone. We're probably almost on our third year in, I think, October or something like that.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
We're like in our third month, so it's a
keep pushing.
We got
keep
some catching up to do, man.
Keep pushing.
Kind of like lightning in a bottle that you would just be in a Twitch stream and someone would be like, yo, man, yourself's dope. Let me join you. And That seems really cool that that would happen that way, and you guys have a really good chemistry on the show. It seems like you guys were friends far before you were doing the show.
Yeah.
It just seemed like you've just been, like, the chemistry on that show, you know, you guys all go back and forth so well. It's just funny to think that it was kind of random in that way, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we, Cicero and I hadn't ever met. I'd met, it was funny, the running conversation was that Sharif had met both of us before me and Cicero had met.
There's no proof that you were real.
I was like, besides the fact that I see you on a camera every week, there's no idea that you're an actual human. I want you to be a cyborg. That would be so dope.
Dude, he's getting a movie, man.
yeah, I'm just saying, you know, like I never see you and Batman at the same time. Well, I don't know what the deal is with that.
Just saying.
So Cicero and I hadn't met until, interestingly enough, to a 2K event that happened a little bit earlier in the year, actually. So we had done this show for 2 years already, never met in the same place. We had never physically met. And then full circle, come back to a 2K event to be the first time that we actually met.
And man, that's like awesome. That's like some rom-com level of coincidence, man. Like, too perfect.
We made sure that we didn't hug real hard and cry.
It's not Scrubs, man. You guys can't be JD and Turk out in public like that.
It was funny, though, too, because it was like, you know, a lot of people, when they asked us, so what did you guys, cry? Because, you know, it's an emotional investment to do anything with someone for a long period of time. Like, we've gone through those conversations with that faction that won't be named. And, you know, having hard conversations about family and race and, you know, with all the violence that has been going on in the country for the past couple of years as well. We all feel that and commiserate with each other on a constant basis, you know? So people are like, did you guys like cry? I was like, no, because we know each other at this point.
That's
like,
true.
We rolled up on each other and I was like, what's up, big head? He was like, shut up, man. And then we just kept it moving, and it was great. And it was one of those moments that I, you know, it reinforces just how you can have friendships online that grow into ones that become offline ones, and how people can find common ground when they're complete strangers. But through this wonderful thing that we have in video games, we can experience all these wonderful, beautiful things and kind of move forward and have, you know, vibrant lives because of it. So, you know, when people poo-poo video games and, you know, all this negative stuff that's there, and I'm like, video games has put me in places that I'd never thought that I would be.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, take those moments and enjoy that, and enjoy what you have, and enjoy the medium for what it is and can be. And then you'll have much more enjoyment with it. You'll be able to kind of give it the respect that it deserves.
Cool. I like that. So with just kind of speaking on that, does it ever astound you? I mean, it astounds me, and I've not really been on both sides of it that long from my age, but does it still, like, astound both of you that it's, you can just meet people online and it's not the way it used to be? Like, early 90s, I'm growing up, and it's like, you don't meet people, you meet online, you meet them in an open space, like, with tons of people. And now it's like, oh yeah, this is my bro. We met online, but we've known each other for 2 years. It's, I don't know. There was no point to that. It just kind of still blows my mind how many people you can meet online. Just, I mean, even through the show, you know, I've talked to people that, some people I've never met or heard of, you know, Steph will bring some contacts in, but then, you know, through this, I've got to, you know, chop it up with people that, oh, I've been listening to them for 2 years, or I saw one of their blog posts, or, oh man, so-and-so said they were willing to take a chat based on the words somebody else said. It's just kind of miraculous to me to know what all can happen, because one day when I was 4, my parents were like, hey, this is called Sonic, play this for a little bit. And an obsession grew. And now I'm talking to people all across the country and in the world even, you know?
Yeah, I mean, again, I tell people all the time that we live in amazing times and you should respect that. Like, the technology that we have at this moment, I was born in 78, so I'm an old fart.
Nah, man, you're only as old as you feel, man.
I feel like an old fart. No,
man. You're at least a young fart, a fresh fart.
I'm a fresh silent fart. I sneak up and I'm like, what's up?
Spawn on me, silent but deadly.
yes.
Tag it. There it is.
Yeah, it's you know what the funny thing is I am weird about internet meetings only when it comes to dating. Because I was never a part of the internet dating scene. I missed that whole section of life. I was always kind of in long monogamous relationships.
Yeah, lucky you, man.
I mean, you can talk to my ex about that and see if that was lucky for either one of us. We were both like, all right, it's time to go. But I miss that aspect of it. So most of my friends currently, I would say, are all online. So I've met most of the people throughout, you know, my gaming sphere, the people I've been rocking with since, you know, for 10 years at this point, from my old Xbox 360 days till now.
Man, that is old now. Wow.
I'm saying, right? Like, that's crazy that's 10 years, 10 plus years. The folks that I've met through the show, people that I've met through Facebook and through Twitter and stuff like that, who are now, you know, friends that I will call up and be like, hey, this is stupid. I need someone to talk to about this thing. Totally is weird. It's totally a crazy phenomena that has happened in a very short amount of time. If you think about kind of how long human beings live and how quickly technology moves.
I wonder what the age is for people that aren't amazed by that. Like, I'm not going to be one of those young cats that's like, oh man, back in the day, because I'm not really that old, but just seeing the amount of technology that's changed in like the last 10 years seems ridiculous to me. You know, I remember some kid from down the road, I went to school with, he's like, hey man, I got this thing called the iPhone. I looked at him like, that's an iPod, man. It's an iPod touch. He's like, yeah, but it goes on the internet. You can call people. I'm like, that's a gimmick. No one's going to buy that. I was wrong. I was very wrong. Like, however many degrees of wrong you can be. But, you know, I remember having that flip phone. You press the internet button and your parents are like, nah, yeah, man, you better close that.
That's so $10 a second. And then you spend like 20 minutes trying to keep it from loading.
You snap your phone in half to just end it. Now it's like, oh man, I can't believe I only have 3G here. And it just seems like a quick turnaround. Like, I'm still amazed by it, but I've talked to people that are not really that much younger than me, to the point where we should be in different technological zones. And they're like, that's okay, cool. It is what it is. And I'm like, what do you mean this is what it is, man? This phone has more power than a spaceship did back when they were launching them, which I wasn't there for, but someone told me that's true. So I believe them.
Yeah. It's like, I've seen so many things change just in my lifetime. It makes me really think about the folks who were here before us. So it's like the folks who saw,
like, how before us.
Yeah, I mean, like think about the things that we've been able to see in our lifetimes, at least in mine, right? Where I'm like, in yours as well, because I'm sure we're fairly close in age. So it's like, people behind us were like horse and buggies to cars, you know, telegraphs to telephones, telephones to cell phones. Then you have us, where it's like, okay, so we have rotary phones to digital phones, the digital phones to beepers, the beepers to cell phones, the cell phones to iPhones. You know, it's the...
Yeah, we actually have video calling. I was like, oh, that's just something the Jetsons have. Like, now we have FaceTime in our pocket. It's easy.
Yeah, like the way technology has moved just in our lifetimes has been crazy quick and innovative. And, you know, you push that even back out into games. Think about the things that we were able to play when we were little, and now stuff that we're seeing that's photorealistic now. You know, like, are so many things that are in there that are cool.
Yeah, it's crazy to see the amount of technology we have now. It's crazy to also see, shouldn't say crazy, but it's ridiculous to see how badly we can optimize them too. Like, the better our technology is, the more annoyed I am when it doesn't work properly. In the sense that, you know, if you look at Zelda 1 versus, you know, Breath of the Wind, it looks amazing. You know, you look at, you know, the original Fallouts compared to now, but then you'll see something like, man, look how beautiful Assassin's Creed is when it's actually rendering correctly. And it's, we have all this technology, you know, but we're not even utilizing it correctly. And I don't understand. It kind of throws me off to see that jarringness of, there's people putting out games with old graphics and old technology, but better because it still works. I don't know. That's funny to me.
I think we also, the more updates we get more quickly, the more impatient we get with them. Like, when I was 12, logging onto AOL with, like, the CD that they sent in the mail, like, it took me a minute and a half to 5 minutes to get on the internet. And then it took me 30 seconds to a minute to load a page. Like, even if it was just all text, like fanfic or something, like...
Mm-hmm.
Now, if Tumblr does not load immediately, Like, what the fuck is wrong with this? What is happening? Why?
Well, to be fair, Tumblr never loads.
That's fair. So it's Tumblr's a bad example. It's like
all the gifts all day.
Yeah. But literally any other app.
Yeah, I mean, think about it though. Is, you know, we've become more impatient. I kind of love the Louis C.K. skit that he talks about. You know, wait a minute, it's hitting the satellite and coming back down. Calm down a minute. Yeah. Like, just hold on a second. It's hitting a satellite in space and then coming back to you. So chill out a minute.
I think that's what's wild. It throws us off. It's like, I'll send a text and I'll look at somebody's phone and it'll take a minute to get there. I'm like, why is it taking so long? Because I know if I call them, we can have like instantaneous voice chat. So I'm not sure why. I think it just causes dissonance in my head. I'm like, hey, I bought this $X100 phone. I want the fast technology. I want to be faster than life actually exists. I want them to hear my words before I think of them.
Yeah, right? Isn't that crazy? I mean, isn't that nuts to think about that in that way? It's like, who would think that this is a thing that we'd be kind of complaining or fussing about at this point? It's like, yeah. I didn't get that text message fast enough. You know, like
100
you know
years
how
ago.
Long it used to take? Yeah, you know how long people had to send those things through carrier pigeons? Like a bird had to be born for you to get that message. that's amazing, you know?
So, Steph, I was talking to you one time about Hamilton, because of course you were.
Of course you were.
And you mentioned, yo, I can't believe Angelica was in love with this dude for so long. And I'm like, yeah, but at the speed it took to send those letters, they might only have, like, actually an hour's worth of communication. It just took like 2 years for it to do, so.
That's fair.
Like, imagine that now, if you're like, man, I really like this person, but they live across the country. I hope they're still alive when they get this letter. Like,
imagine dating back then. You could only date people who were in proximity.
Yeah.
Now you can date people wherever they are.
Man, my buddy just got married earlier this year to someone he met over a video game that was from Scotland, and they dated remotely for like 5 years, and now like she lives over here. But I was like, man, that would have not really been possible before now. This is ridiculous that you can do that. And they made it work too. I mean, we told them they were nuts for trying, but hey, I was wrong about the iPhone. I guess I was wrong about people staying together. Congrats to them. But it's I think if we had dating, I mean, well, we obviously had dating, but I feel like we'd still get the same kind of nonsense that we're getting today. Like, you know, someone probably wrote a pamphlet. How doth talk to the woman when she is penning a letter instead of, you know, talking to women with their headphones on. Yeah, I saw the topical stuff today.
I was going to say, yeah, that's very, very topical.
Yeah.
The hot trends of today.
Oh, the hot trends of today. So, covered a lot. We're going in a lot of circles fast, but this is kind of free and loose, man. How you feeling so far, Khalif?
No, this is awesome. You two are amazing. I'm really excited and happy to be here, because I love talking about cool stuff like this. It gets to dig into a little bit of theoretical. We get to talk about carrier pigeons. We talk about a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, I didn't think I'd be talking about on a Dope Tuesday. So I'm happy about that.
Hey, it's good, man. It's good. You know, it's fun having a free schedule to an extent after the 9 to 5, because we were supposed to record yesterday. Here's a little inside baseball for the listeners. You know, we're not even going to lock up behind Patreon. This is free to you guys. We were supposed to record yesterday, and Cleese like, man, there's people cutting down trees behind my house. And I had an existential crisis for a second, because I was like, man, this is the end of the dream. We're never going to have a podcast ever again, because someone had to cut down a tree. Man, that tree's been growing longer than they've probably been alive, and they're just going to end it like that.
It was like being in a logging city, in a logging village, and I was like, what is going on behind my house right now? Because it was usually like they'll prune the trees that are behind, and they'll do like they'll clean it up and get the leaf blowers out and stuff like that. But it was like a Decepticon-sized thing that they had in the back of the yard that was just like beating trees up with its fists. And I was like, I don't understand.
It's why just you...
Yeah. I was like, why do you hate Arbor Day? Why do you hate trees? Why do you hate leaves and pretty things? And just came over here and was like, roll out and just kill things. And I was like, I'm sorry. Sorry, Dom. I can't. I don't want to mess up the audio for your show by having tree Decepticons behind the house and beating things up. So
it's just funny. I get that from the smallest thing. I try to walk around real confident, like, yeah, man, I can do a podcast. Zero notes. I'm going to freestyle it. I'll freestyle in front of a crowd. And someone's like, hey, I can't do the show today because this very real thing. But then that imposter syndrome creeps in. I'm like, no, it's because we're not good enough. I bet there's not even trees where Khalif lives. I bet you he lives on an island beach and he just doesn't want to talk to us.
I know you hate trees. I know you hate trees. Don't like my podcast? No. The thing that still bugs me out is that people want me to talk to them in any form or fashion. That's honest.
Why is that?
Because I am a person who, you know, I don't think of myself as special in any way, in that way. Where I'm like, I'm not saying anything that anybody else couldn't say. But
yeah, but you are, though. Like, it's just to come out and say, for the smallest thing, say, hey, being bad to people is bad. So many people won't say that online because of fear of something.
Yeah. Look, isn't that a sad case of affairs, right? Where we have to, where it's like the people who are like, I take care of my kids. I'm like, yeah, you should.
You're supposed to take care of your kids, man. What you want, a cookie?
Yeah, like, you don't deserve kudos for doing things you're supposed to do. but it makes me feel good that people appreciate our work and appreciate what I do for the show and ask me to be on stuff like this and hang out with folks and talk about kind of all of it combined. So
for sure,
I'm always appreciative of that, especially when it comes from listeners who have then grown their own shows, which is super dope that you're doing this.
Hey, thanks. Go ahead.
No, I just always think that it's amazing to see when folks take that step too, to kind of push their voices out there, because it's a hard deal. People don't know that podcasting is a hard thing to kind of get into, as far as being sustaining the momentum. It's easy to start, it's easy to finish, easy to quit, but it's really hard to kind of stay the course.
The hardest part about staying the course, man?
What's that?
When you get these three audio files and you got to re-listen to a conversation you had previously. And you're like, this was great the first time, and I'm sure other people will like it, but I really don't need to hear this a second time.
Yep. I mean, there's ways around it, but you kind of have to do it. You have to do it. I remember. Has it gotten easier for you at this point? Because I know
I figured out how to listen at 2x the speed to get through it quicker.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Like, you'll learn the tricks of the trade. I didn't know that until, like, after year one. So we would have 2-hour shows, and it would wind up being, like, 4 hours to edit, because I would just get distracted, or I would be, you know, still trying to figure out why Audacity was a punk and all these other things of, like, why things weren't doing what they were supposed to do, and it would take forever to get a show done.
And I tried to search that. I was like, there has to be a way, because I don't want to hear my voice again. And I would look at a stretch of audio, and I'm like, I could just skip over that because it looks fine, but what if I said something and someone had to dial it back? Oh, man, I know the day I skip something is the day someone's going to say something like, oh, you need to edit that out or I'm going to lose my job. And that'll be the day that I'm like, I'll just skip over it. So I guess I can never skip over it.
It's hard. It's a hard deal. Like, it's funny because we'll have shows. So I've been kind of on and off in the past month because I'm unemployed and all this craziness has happened in my personal life. But Cicero and Sharif have been editing shows. So they'll send me files and be like, hey, do you want to edit? And I was like, I don't know what you talked about. I have no idea how the flow of that show went. You should totally do that, because I know when I've done a show, I'm taking mental notes in my head of, I coughed there, or, you know, someone snickered underneath their microphone and I caught it and I know it's going to show up in the file, or Cicero has a bat in his house, or, you know, the random things that happen.
The fact that that's not a made up story is wild in and of itself.
Yeah, the fact that that's an actual thing that really happened is hilarious, you know? Sharif almost fell asleep one episode. It's fine. Like, you have to remember those things so that you can make your show sound good. Oh, and that people don't want to not listen and think that your show sounds terrible.
Exactly. That was the one that I think it was your show, or maybe just something you said on somebody else's show, was, you know, you really got to just try to make it sound as good as possible. I was like, man, that suspiciously sounds like effort. But no one makes an impact by being lazy, so I guess today's the day I stop being lazy. At least until we get an editor. That's the day I get to be lazy.
You know what the funny thing is, though? And I remember the day that I decided that was going to be a thing I cared about was when I saw a couple of shows that I used to listen to or still listen to that had like okay sound quality, but they had like amazing amounts of people listening to their shows, and it made me mad. I totally got upset because I was like, your show sounds like doo-doo in a wet bag. Why do people listen to your show? And not that I know what doo-doo in a wet bag sounds like. That is just the term that people have passed around in circles that I kind of appreciate.
I think those are good circles.
Those are good circles. And I said, well, how did you garner this kind of audience and people just don't call you out on the fact that it sounds this bad? And that's when I learned that there's a level of quality that you have to attain for yourself. And then hopefully people will rock with it, because there's a level of kind of this middling level of acceptable audio quality that we've gotten to in the podcasting space, where a lot of folks can kind of rock with that and be fine. But right. To me, that is a deterrent for me listening to your show, because I feel like that is a discussion about quality. It's a discussion about, are you putting forth the effort? Do you care about my time as a listener to make sure that you have really good audio quality so I can listen to you talk for an hour and a half?
Absolutely.
And I think it's disrespectful to not have good audio quality for your show, because it's disrespectful of other people's time. And you don't have a lot of space to wiggle. And it's just because there's so many shows out there. Everybody and their mama's podcasting at this point.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, so here we are.
Yeah, and that's great. And the sound of your show is going to get better throughout the more that you do shows, and you'll learn the tips and tricks that'll make your show sound even better than where it is now. And you'll be able to kind of talk about that and share that knowledge with other folks when they ask you. Because I know at some point someone's going to be like, "Hey, Brother Dom, tell me how to make my show sound as dope as your show." And you're going to be like, "Come here, Padawan.
Come here, young one.
Step one, young one. Snatch the microphone from my hand.
Cancel during thunderstorms."
Right.
Unless it makes it sound cool." Which that happened once. It actually sounded pretty cool. And I was like, "Hey, we're on deadline. I'm going to acknowledge this, but it's only on my end, so we can probably erase most of it." And it turned out well, but it didn't really impact the audio quality, just since I sit close enough to the mic, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Can we dial back to a previous point real quick? So sort of a personal question. You mentioned that you hated trees. So I'd like to ask you, and this question's for like 13 people max, but I just want to ask it. Who is your favorite tree from all of pop culture? And this could be football teams, video games, anything, characters in movies.
Oh, that's easy. That's super easy. Tree Rollins, who used to play on the Orlando Magic, who was a backup center to Shaquille O'Neal when he was starting out in Orlando. And he is my favorite tree because he was one of the worst centers in the NBA, backing up one of the best kind of young stars ever to be put on the face of the planet. And his name was Tree Rollins. Because if you think about it, he was a letter away from being Tree Rollings, which would have been an amazing weed joke. If we ever got that together. So you know, it's like, you know, his parents were lucky. He was lucky.
That's true.
You know what I mean? I'm sure that there are some folks out there who are like, "Damn, man, you could have been Tree Rollins, man. That would have been dope." But man, not Tree Rollins.
Can I tell you my weed tree story?
Yes, please.
So my brother and I were walking through one of the local malls, you know, just kind of doing that thing the teenagers do, is just kind of walk around while you're there for some reason. So, you know, there's like a little kiosk and they're trying to sell you stuff. And they're like, "Hey, man, you know, you guys want to change your contract to Sprint?" And me and my brother look at each other like, well, first off, we don't pay the bill, so it's not really up to us. We don't have the authority to be like, "Mom and Dad, we're getting Sprint." We're like, "Nah, man, we're good with Verizon. But also, we don't really get a lot of good Sprint service out where we live." He's like, "Ah, okay, man, that makes sense. You guys got any trees?" And we look at each other like, what kind of garbage ass phone service is going to be impacted by trees? Like, and he's like, "Nah, man, tree smoke." And I'm like, "Oh, nah, man, we don't have any. That's kind of a weird pivot to go, man. You didn't really put any buffer between then. You still sound like you were trying to sell me something." And yeah, apparently he wanted to buy that day. And, That was only the first time that day that we got asked for weed. And then after that, it never happened again. So I don't know what we were doing that day. Maybe the Sprint guy got some wrong information. Maybe it was a Arnold and Gerald dressed as the wrong fruits downtown kind of situation. I don't know. But he thought we were carrying and we were absolutely were not. But for the record, my favorite tree is Woodman from Mega Man 2. Steph, what's your favorite tree?
Favorite tree is the White Tree of Gondor.
Nice. That's awesome.
So we got some tree conversation, you know. It only lasted for about tree fitty. hey, bring it around.
Perfection.
I don't know if South Park had a good or bad impact on this world, but we did get tree fitty, so, you know, maybe it's a net positive, even if by a tiny bit. Steph, how you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good, Dan. How you feeling?
Hey, I'm feeling pretty good. Cleef, is there anything you wanted to talk about? Just curious, just asking you, you know, accommodating the guests.
What are you guys playing right now?
Playing?
Yeah.
Man, I'm playing the stock market. No, I'm playing. <Lincoln. laughs> I mean, good thing for me, this isn't a video games podcast based on the fact that, well, it's not solely that because I don't play as many games as I'd like to. And stuff like that is impacted by the fact that if I get a game, I'll just stick to it for a long, long time. Mm. And currently that game is Overwatch. And it's pretty much if I'm not editing a podcast or watching Law and Order, I'm playing Overwatch. And yeah, that's what I'm playing, Overwatch on the PC. It's nice. A great game.
Yeah, nice. Stephanie? I just moved away finally out of my parents' house 2 months ago to move to New York City. And no consoles came with me. They all belong to my brother. So, right now,
hey,
go ahead.
Oh, you got to get in that mobile space, you know.
Yeah, I was gonna say. So right now, I'm playing Pokemon Go.
Not there as, it is.
Oh man,
not as avidly as I'd like to, because once I get home from work, I'm like, man, I do not want to. Like, there's a million Pokestops and like 1,000 trillion different Pokemon in New York City. Like, it's not like a wasteland like some like rural areas are.
Hey, so hey, I could, hey, come on now.
If I had my external battery with me, I could go out and like spend a whole day hunting for Pokemon, but it usually only happens on the weekends.
So as a now New Yorker, having as I have moved from New York to Portland a couple years ago,
mm-hmm.
have you seen a rat carrying a piece of pizza down some stairs yet?
No, but my eyes are peeled. I haven't seen any rats. I've seen plenty of cockroaches, but no rats yet. And I'm sure it'll eventually lose the, like, touristy weirdness of seeing a rat coming from Pittsburgh, where even though things in Pittsburgh are all close to water, so there should be rats, but I don't know that I've ever seen a rat in Pittsburgh.
Actually, yeah, I've never seen a rat in Pittsburgh. That's weird. I've seen a ton of pigeons, which are basically flying rats, if you ask me. I've seen mice, but I've never seen a rat before. Well, yeah.
So yeah, I got my eyes peeled for that inaugural rat sighting.
always the rats. Always the rats.
Khalif, what are you playing about right now?
I am playing a bunch of Paragon. A bunch of Paragon, which is a MOBA from the folks over at Epic Games.
Oh, okay.
That is pretty cool. People should pick that up if they like MOBAs. It's a third-person MOBA, kind of in the vein of Smite, if you've ever played that. Playing No Man's Sky a bunch.
How are you liking that? Still fun?
Want your money back yet?
I've already put in for it. No, I'm just playing. I'm enjoying that game. I feel cool. Like that is my kind of cool down for the rest of the day game. You know, I used to be Spelunky and it used to be Nuclear Throne, where it would be the game that I would play before I went to bed as like a thing to kind of de-stress me, which is it was probably weird because those games are really stressful.
Yeah, high intense games.
They're high intense games, but they make me kind of get into a zoned out Zen space where my hands are just doing things and I'm wrecking fools.
Okay, because I'm going to say Vlambeer does not care about your heart rate.
No, they don't.
Shout out to Rami.
Rami's awesome.
They make great games.
I'll shake the guy's hand one day. you know what? I will. If we're ever in the space, I will introduce you to Rami. Rami's a good dude.
Cool.
The first person I ever got to interview in gaming or speak to in gaming was Rami. And we met at IndieCade like 3 or 4 years ago. And it was funny because I was nervous because I saw him hanging out and he was working on his computer. And I rolled over with two people that I had and I was like, yo, that's Rami. And they were like, we don't know who Rami is because they don't game. They didn't know any of the stuff. I was like, I'm going to go talk to him. I want to see if I can get him on the show. And I walked over to him and I introduced myself. And he says, that's really cool. Nice to meet you. Do you want to see me update Nuclear Throne on Steam? And I said, what? And he said, yeah, you want to see me do it? I was like, yeah. Heck yeah, I want to see what Steam looks like from the inside. And then he showed me what it looked like, which is really interesting because I guess that I'm hoping that they've updated it since because it's scary. Because it's super bare bones and doesn't look super cool at all. You would think that there were like imps running around, moving things around, but it's not.
GLaDOS in there somewhere?
Not even close. It made me really mad because I was like, this is what Steam is? Boo Steam.
It's ran on actual Steam.
Super, yeah, right? It's terrible. And that was like our first interaction was him showing me how to update something on Steam. And from that point forward, he's been a person that I really, really respect and want to see him be as successful as anybody on the planet when it comes to being in this industry. So he's a good dude to know for sure. But No Man's Sky is dope. No Man's Sky is a dope game. It's made me appreciate math again in a way that I didn't expect before.
Why is that?
I think people, when you know, besides the kind of zeitgeist parts of the hype, and then the eventual bubble bursting on people because high expectations and also things that weren't in the game and blah blah blah. We all kind of know where that's landed so far in that respect. The ability to go to places that are beautiful because of math and algorithms is a thing that I didn't expect.
Oh, okay.
Like it's a really interesting contrast because we have the conversation and we talked a little bit about this on the show, was about it's difficult to get really into the game because you start to see where it breaks.
Right.
And that's because of them not having infinite permutations of animal parts or flora and fauna and all these things. So you start to see some repetition, right? But just kind of flipped on its head or turned on its side and a new color or a new color scheme. And you're like, no, but that's the same thing I saw on every other planet that I've been on forever. And then you run into planets that are not aesthetically pretty. And again, it's like this foundation of all these things working together in unison because of math. But then when you get to a place where you see things look beautiful, it gives you this kind of aha moment, at least it does for me, where it's like, wow, these are a lot of happenstance parts that are all pushed together, mashed into a bowl, spun around, thrown upside down, and then placed in this map for you. And it's provided me to sit on this one aspect or this one mountain or this one hill overlooking this vast ocean that has animals in it, that has two moons above it, that has an ecosystem running around it that's not necessarily complex, but it's there,
right?
All because of math. And
fun way to look at it.
And of itself is really dope. And I'm like, I get where people are picking it apart. And I guess because I have a kind of artistic eye for that kind of stuff, because I'm running a site that's, you know, that's attached to it, or that's kind of showing off the artistic side of that game in some way, hopefully.
Yeah.
I'm looking for those moments to pick out. And there is some monotony in the kind of minutia of farming and getting resources and all that stuff. But I randomly hit a planet that was full of grass and had this overlook that hit this part where, you know, if I wanted to have gone to a place that looked like that in real life, I would seek that place out because that place is real. But this place was computer generated through math, through algebra, through algorithms that are coming from really smart people. So that in and of itself, to me, makes that game worthwhile. So that when you get the monotony, you get the boring places, that is also math happening. That's also... And I hate math. I fight math like I was Mike Tyson and it was a boxer. I hate math. But seeing that being a thing that projects and pushes out beauty is something that I think people don't recognize, but they should. and say, this math made this beautiful during this time, and someone may never see it. That is so dope. People are kind of hung up on the part of like, I don't get to see anybody else. And I'm like, that's kind of the beauty of this game.
Like, I don't care about anybody else. That's not what I'm here for.
Yeah, the kind of the beauty of it is that we all want to be explorers in our own way. We all want to be people who get to discover the first thing and plant a flag. And to say that this is a thing that someone may never have seen or never will see, you are imparting your own flag in that way on this planet. And that's kind of beautiful. Yeah, it's kind of beautiful. You know, like that's kind of a really cool aspect of this game that you can't really say you have in any other place, in any other game that will probably come out. You know, Spore had that kind of thing, but this is even a different extension of that. So I'm playing that game thinking about that. And this the movement, the, you know, the planets that I don't like, I leave. I bounce. I'm like,
I don't need this planet anyway.
Yeah, like the throwaway planets are throwaway for a reason, and that's fine. But cool. The ones that are the ones that stick with you are the ones that you're like, wow, that sunset was really pretty, you know.
And you put a whole different spin on this that I had even considered. I never considered it. Like, yeah, this is why math is cool. Stay in school, kids, because you can make the next man's sky.
Hell yeah, like no doubt. Like things that I don't think that people understand how impressive this game is, even with all of its flaws. And I think that that is a problem that we see within consumerism. We see that within, especially in the video game space, where people don't understand how hard it is to make a game.
Oh, yeah. And people are like, hey, you can add multiplayer in like a week. What are you thinking about, man?
Yeah.
It doesn't even sound realistic, like as a joke, you know?
Yeah. And also, why do you feel like you need to pigeonhole things into other things? Like, yes, I think that there are aspects of the way that the game was marketed that I don't think ever came to fruition. I don't think that those were done maliciously. If they were, then that sucks. But if it wasn't, that's just a part of game development.
Yeah.
You
know,
if you want to look at it in ways that like, well, these people lied to us, then every developer that has ever made a game is a liar.
I mean, trailers lie, you know, preview teasers lie.
But even in a more simple aspect that's not even dealing with the marketing aspect, everyone has really grand expectations and wants for their game.
Sure.
But you run up against a wall of money, you run up against a wall of time and resources that make you fine tune some of those things and pare away a lot of it so that you get this kind of distilled thing that you want or that you wind up having. And most people who have ever made a game, if you get a chance to talk to them and ask them, you know, what did your game start out as and then what did you get? You'll run into every version of No Man's Sky that you've ever seen. It's sure. Just that some of that stuff didn't get marketed in the stuff that was in there, or you just didn't have enough time, resources, or energy to make it happen. So we'll see how that game turns out in another 6 months if people are still playing it. People talked about the 90% drop off on PC, which is reasonable because
that happens with everything. Yeah.
That happens with everything, but also it's reasonable that because there have been a lot of bugs with that game. But I think it will refine that community down to the people who actually care, and that's a good thing.
For sure.
Sorry, I'm a blubber, man.
No, man, it's hearing people be passionate about anything is, you know, one of the, I don't have a cool word for it, but it's one of the core parts of this show is that one of the things I get a lot of enjoyment out of, not even in a narcissistic sense, but just hearing people passionate about the things they care about, you know, and people will go on a tangent where they don't feel like they're droning or they're like, oh man, I'm really excited about this because that or that or that or that. And that's the kind of thing that, I don't know, gives me life. I hate to use phrases over and over, but I really get a lot of energy from seeing people have energy about things, you know. Like, I had zero interest in No Man's Sky, partially because I don't have a Xbox or a PlayStation, and my computer, I didn't really want to run on my computer, but hearing other people talk about it, I'm like, man, this is, well, besides the people that are being ridiculous, this is really something special. And, you know, I'm glad these people are happy if they're happy about it. You know, anytime I hear people go on and on about a game, but it's always, oh, but one more thing, or oh, this movie is solid, but one more thing, and that drive to say one more thing, you can hear it in their voice, like they really care about this, and that means a lot to me.
Same. I dig it.
Yeah. Cool. So we got this next part, Khalif, the next part of our show. It's I don't know how long it goes. It can be any length. We're still looking for a name for it, but it's kind of a rapid fire section. Be as rapid or as not rapid as you want. We have not had a rapid version of this before, so so it's sort of the question part. It's a lot of fun, and it's sort of a, we test what kind of geek you are, but not like a, it's not a skills test. It's not a,
like a crappy gatekeeper-y kind of
thing.
Oh man, this is gonna be rough. I'm totally not a geek.
Oh man, we'll get something from this. I mean, if you had an answer for a tree, you'll have an answer for some of this stuff.
Especially word. That quick of an answer for a tree. That was like immediate turnaround.
I'm a weird person. I think about Tree Rollins a lot. No.
You're showing us the kind of character that you are. Oh, I gotta keep saying that more often. I like the way it sounds. Per tradition, Steph, would you like to pull the first one out?
Yes, sir. All right.
Just pretend we have a hat sitting here with all kinds of slips in it, you know?
Nice. I want that to be the realest of real.
Yeah.
One day, the live show.
Live show, yeah. We'll have like a top hat or some kind of neat hat. If you could have any superpower for a week, what superpower would you have?
I want to be invisible. I definitely want to be invisible because I want to hear people talk about things that they don't get to talk about in public. I think that's when you find out.
You sound like you've thought about this a lot.
I sound like Anonymous, don't I?
Nah, man. Anonymous just goes and does it. You sound more like, I don't know, Mr. Robot or Hollow Man, you know, with...
Kevin Bacon?
Kevin Bacon, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I saw that movie way too young.
Me too.
That shit scared the hell out of me.
I was like, I don't want to know what the cardiovascular system looks like. No.
Where's the mitochondria? It's the powerhouse.
It's not okay. It's not all right.
Man, he was a creep in that movie too. That's one of the things that you watch it when you're a little kid and your parents are like, hey, there's boobs on screen. Don't look at that. But you see what he's doing. And then you grow up and like, yo, that dude was a creep. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like this, I mean, let's take out the fact that he killed people. This dude was like just creeping. That's not okay, man. I mean, I was just afraid that he was invisible and was going to kill me. But
yeah, I was going to say, that was what I was most worried about, was that if he could be invisible anywhere, he could have been being invisible in my room.
I mean, he was creepy, so, I mean, that's...
So then the possibility is even higher, then.
Oh, man, Kevin Bacon. Jeez. Okay. If you could pick any event to be invisible at, some kind of gaming event, which one would you pick? Just as a follow-up.
Ooh, at a gaming event?
I guess, yeah. It's, you know.
I would love to see how Evo or CEO works behind the scenes. Because I think that those two events are, because they're both kind of parts of the fighting game community. Those two seem to be the most honest about and most kind of interesting in the way that they are pushing the medium forward.
Okay.
And I like process. I like to see when people are kind of doing things and, you know, giving directions and how the machine works. So that would definitely be the one that I want to check out. Those two.
Nice. Okay. So next question on the list, as if we had an order or something. What's your favorite iteration of Batman's Joker?
I really love the Heath Ledger version of that, of Joker.
Cool. Solid one.
I mean, he just took that Joker to a new level, which was really cool to see. Because he was the first Joker that I've seen on camera that I was scared from.
Yeah, he was definitely creepy.
He was super creepy, and it was great that he was so creepy. He just took that and made it super awesome. Yeah, I think my second actually is Jack Nicholson's, though. Jack Nicholson was a cool dude. Because you can see he was not playing the Joker. He was playing himself as the Joker, which was awesome. So that was a super, super cool one.
That didn't work so well for Jared Leto.
I heard, I mean, it's weird. I wonder. I haven't seen it, so I can't comment. But I heard he did a okay job.
I'm sure it was. What's the definition of actually just okay? It's like, oh man, that wasn't as bad as I was thinking it was going to be, but it wasn't good. And they probably could have taken it from the movie, but they didn't need to. Yeah, I guess it was okay. Yeah.
He didn't die during the whole filming. It's great.
I'm surprised because it seemed like he was trying to, you know, like it was, Man, what a weird new cycle around that movie. What the heck's going on with DC? Man, if they can get Wonder Woman and Cyborg right, I think they'll get so much forgiven if they can make those two movies all right. That should be hilarious if they're like, hey, man, we'll make our female-led movie is going to be good, our black-led movie is going to be good, and the rest is going to be trash. How about How You Like Me Now? And then Marvel will be like, I think Marvel has to respond, because DC's like, hey, we got Wonder Woman, female-led movie in our relatively young universe. And Marvel going to be sitting there like, okay, so, what women do we have? Scarlet Witch, Captain Marvel? I kind of want every woman in Marvel to get a movie except Black Widow as, a running joke, just as, this weird thing. Just because I don't really get down with Black Widow and Hawkeye like that. And everyone's like, we want a Black Widow movie. I'm like, I don't want to see that movie. Now, Scarlet Witch, Squirrel Girl, if we can get a Squirrel Girl movie, man, you can have all my money. That'd be great. But I think it'd be funny if Black Widow just kept not getting a movie, but was in every movie. Like, it was
the Black Widow. Scarlett Johansson has, a 25-movie deal.
Yeah, she didn't have her own movie, but she's, the one integral part that makes all this work, you know? She's, the other Sam Jackson, essentially. As long as we forget about Lucy.
Lucy.
As we proactively forget about Ghost in the Shell.
Oh, that was so bad too. Her was kind of bad too.
Is Scarlett Johansson a good actress, actually?
No. No, she's not.
Because we're like, yo, Black Widow is so great. But is that her or is the movie
we can only put Scarlett Johansson in the bad actors club if we can add Denzel Washington, if we can add Who is it? Oh, there's another person that does this. Al Pacino. And we have to add, there's one other person I can't think of right now off the top. Oh, Will Smith. If we can add all those people into the Bad Actors Club, I would be totally be down with it.
That's fair. That's, watching these movies, I'm not sure if Will Smith can actually act.
Because they're all playing themselves.
Well, then we got to put, I can't remember his name. I'm so bad. It's Rocky. What's his name? I just know his
Stallone.
Name.
Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, Stallone. Man, I got into a fight with my friend because he told me he hated Michael Cera. And I'm like, why do you hate Michael Cera? Because I like Scott Pilgrim. I think Michael Cera plays funny characters. He's like, he just plays the same dumb character in every movie. Superbad, Juno. I'm like, well, okay. If you're going to say Michael Cera plays the same role, you got to be mad at Sylvester Stallone then, because Rocky and Rambo are the same dude in a different city. If you ask me, Demolition Man is the same dude three times. Yep. That's just me. Before I gotta put my flame shields up, but I don't think Sylvester Stallone was ever that great of an actor. He's right there with Scarlett Johansson and Will Smith, if you ask me.
I agree. I'm okay with this.
There it is, stamp of approval. Steph, you got the next one before the internet burns us down.
Let's do my favorite question, which is, what is a crossover you would like to see if you could crossover any two pieces of media?
I am dying to see the Street Fighter Mortal Kombat crossover. I need this in my life. I want to see Zangief have his spine ripped out by Sub-Zero and make it pretty and 3D in VR at 120 frames per second. That's what I want to happen, and I know it's never going to happen, but I really want that to happen. So, yep, that's my answer on that one.
Man, that's one of the best answers we ever got. That was quick. I had a follow-up question, but you answered it in there. Okay. Who would be on the box? Who's the box fight of the Street Fighter cross Mortal Kombat?
Oh, I mean, it's got to be, Ryu and Sub-Zero. I mean, my favorite is Raiden. So okay. It would be a dope Raiden and Raiden and let me see
Blanca.
that would be weird, because Blanca never gets love. Blanca gets no love. Only time he gets love is from Ono himself. But Blanca gets no love. It would be cool to have why can't I think of his name right now?
Shang Tsung and Akuma.
Right? Like, yeah, like Akuma. Yeah, oh, like, man, first you got to bring Shang Tsung back, which would be dope. But you have Akuma and, like, Raiden on the front.
That'd be great. Because so that's the good versus the evil, man.
Yeah, it would be so hot. That would be so dope. Come on, Ed Boon.
Man, actually, man, so, you know they would want to put, like, Ryu and, like, Sub-Zero or Scorpion. But you kind of got to be, like, Ryu versus Liu Kang. Because they got, like, the headband and the fireball. Like, that's the one. That's the cover right there, man.
It would be so awesome. I want that so bad. But it's never going to happen. And it's...
Well, you know what? Let's be glad it doesn't happen, because you know they would have Balrog and Jackson there looking foolish, and I don't know if I could tolerate that. You know, Balrog would be like, yo, man, let me get that metal arm. And Jackson would be like, only if I get my BET. I mean...
Now I really want that crossover to happen. I want there to be BET DLC in that game. I want there to be BET DLC in there, and then we can have, instead of Toasty come out on the side, it'll be Tyrese talking about, look at my cars. It would be perfect. It would be the perfect game.
Wait, so we should get Capcom Cross BET, and
yo,
you have The Rock come out fighting.
Yo, it would just be Frank, like, it would be Ken and Ryu chilling in BET uncut scenes late at night. Just like Ken twerking in the background doing this thing.
Yo, Sonya Blade versus Nicki Minaj.
Oh no. Wow, that would be terrible. Amazing.
Terrible. Yo, we gotta get Richie Branson on there. That guy's the king of crossovers, man. We gotta get that Capcom Cross BET.
Gotta figure it out.
I would pay at least see a quick animation, or like that Fox Animation Domination has to do that parody. That's so good.
I'm going to ask Ed Boon if I see him again. I met him and almost cried because I love Mortal Kombat so much. But
yeah, they say never meet your heroes, but you seem to have like a really good track record.
I'm lucky. I walk real slow, so it's nice. You can just catch people. And they're like, oh, that dude is walking real slow. And I'm like, hey! Here's my one tip for you. Here's my one tip about meeting your heroes.
Okay, because we're going to New York Comic Con, so we're going to need these tips.
Always, never be afraid to roll up on your heroes. Because I feel like people get scared, and they kind of like, they get too scared to kind of move, and they kind of get the analysis paralysis. Should I do it? Oh man, how am I going to do it? Like, all of us are adults, you know, to be respectful. But being able to tell people that you respect their work, you'll be surprised how many people don't hear that.
Huh.
That makes sense. A cool thing to see them feel happy at the fact that someone took the time to roll up on them and say thank you for doing the work that they do. And you'll usually get good feedback from that. There are times when you get pooped on and you have to just eat it and you'd be like, oh man, you're a terrible human being, Al Pacino. But it's always cool when it turns out to be really, really nice. And then things like that happen. So I definitely rolled up on Ed Boon at E3 and was like, Ed, I love you, man. You've done some amazing work. But I think I think he's actually mad at me though.
Oh no, man.
I think he's mad at me because we leaked something from some information like 4 years ago. That came out that he tried to dispute, and we were like, dude, every time you say that this thing isn't coming out, it comes out. So, but he has like a steel trap memory, so he doesn't forget. So don't mess over Ed Boon, because he will remember that joint. He will not let you forget it.
Okay, I will be on my absolute grind not to do that.
Word.
Man, so yeah, listening to your show, you know, I hear people, and they've made connections, and they all work for it. And, you know, I rarely get jealous about stuff. You know, most people that get things usually deserve them. But the one thing, I guess it wouldn't be jealousy. I wasn't mad, but I was like, damn, I wish I was there. Was it, you guys got to talk to Adam Sessler, man. I remember coming home from school, seeing that dude on TV. Like, this is a cool dude. And you guys like, yo, we got Adam Sessler. I'm like, man, I got to get on this, man.
Adam,
you guys like talk to Adam Sessler, Lee Alexander, Geeta Jackson, so many people that I look up to or think are cool, would have really got me into like the analysis and critical space, you know? So hopefully one day if I ever get to meet heroes, I'll be sure to just roll up on them and be like, hey, I like your work, and if you're upset right now, CleefAdams@spawnonme.com told me to just roll.
Totally, and I will take that. I will say, you know what? I will totally take any responsibility for you rolling up on any of your heroes. And what I would suggest is that you have this part of the show bookmarked, and then when you roll up on people and they get upset, you can play it through your phone like it would say anything over your head, and be like, "Look, Khalif said it was okay to roll up on you because you're a dope human being, and I'm happy that you're a dope human being too. So don't get mad at me."
Nice, nice.
And it works. And it works.
I'll throw your name out next time.
They're gonna be like, "Who the hell is Khalif? I don't know who this dude is." Like,
man. Okay, well, you go in your iTunes directory and you find that show and you listen because you are messing up right now. Hey, Steph, you think we got time for a couple more?
Well, we got time for at least one more.
I've been talking a lot, so we can skip the order if you want to pop out a few.
No, I'll pop one out. It's how about when you're feeling down, is there something you always do to cheer up?
Not a good thing. I'm an emotional eater. And I love sweets. So my favorite sweets of choice when I am down are Chewy Chips Ahoy's cookies.
Those are so good.
They are the joints. So they're so good. Fluff Nutter sandwiches, which are marshmallow fluff and peanut butter, crunchy peanut butter, FTW. And absolutely. Also, I usually like to game. Like, it's interesting. I was a little bit down in the past couple of weeks because I was let go of my job, and you know, finding work is hard.
Yeah.
But gaming has been totally a perfect way for me to kind of sit with myself and be kind of quiet and still and think about, you know, what I'm trying to do and kind of focus on the things that are coming up and that are tasked for me. And gaming always has been there for me for, you know, forever since I was three. I've been gaming since I was three. And it's never let me down except for when I play multiplayer with other human beings. So those are like my go-tos.
Cool. Okay. I guess to close it out, top five candies.
Ooh.
Since you like sweets.
Oh, man. Peanut butter Snickers bars that got discontinued were the best things on the planet.
Those were good.
They were so good, and then they like totally dropped them off the face of the planet. Man, Lemonheads are the best.
Love Lemonheads.
Cherry Clan, which are mad racist, but they're good. Cherry Clan are the most racist snacks on the planet because they had...
Hold on. What's in the category of racist ass? So there's Cherokee Red, Cherry Clan.
Yo, they're mad racist. Mad racist. It's so funny because I didn't think about it until like way later. If you look at the box, the kind of eight. Yep, yep. Mad racist.
Wow, I was thinking like the Ku Klux Klan. No. It's a whole different kind of racist.
Yeah. I didn't think we were going to get Asian racism from a candy.
Yep, isn't that?
I don't know
that?
Why that's the association they made.
Cherry Clan, which is mad racist, and it's like I, but they taste really good.
Are they just cherry lemon heads?
Kind of, sort of, basically. Okay. But didn't really taste like cherry either, which is an interesting conversation too. Fruits that don't taste like fruits in candy form.
But they just taste like racism.
They taste like, it was like red racism in a box. Cherry Clan.
Red racism in a box.
Cherry Clan. I truly love Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. I love Mr. Good Bar. Mr. Good Bar is my favorite chocolate bar of all time.
I like it. Those in like the little packs.
Man. We had them at my old job, and it was torture because it was just like, oh, I don't need to eat actual food. I will just live on this this chocolate that probably costs children their hands.
Like everything good, unfortunately.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, for the most part. And there is one other. I love strawberry Starbursts.
Yep.
Those are the best. Strawberry Starburst are the best.
You know they make the packs of, they're called Fave Reds. You ever have those?
No.
Man, it's the strawberry, the cherry, the watermelon, and the fruit punch. That's the only ones in the pack. And it's, mwah, it's so good.
Ooh, that's good. Go buy those.
Just get all the crap out of there. We don't need orange and yellow. That's no offense to the oranges and lemons, but y'all whack candy. Unless you're lemonhead.
Your candy's whack, B.
Steph, what's your favorite candy? It's the top five. And we never. This is a new question, Cleef. You're like on the, you're on the cutting edge of character reveal questions here.
I like really weird garbage candy, like peach rings are my favorite. Got my peach rings.
Those are good.
I like Milk Duds, which which take the fillings right out of your teeth. Be very careful.
I thought that. Okay. I have solace now.
Those weird strawberry hard candies that you typically only see at old ladies' houses, but have like a chewy filling inside. I really like those for some reason. I don't know why.
Because they're amazing. Yeah. I don't know. No one knows where to get them.
That's three, I think. So we'll go with. I do also love lemon heads.
Solid, solid.
Mm-hmm.
Go with 100 grand bar for my last weird candy.
Ooh, okay. Wow. Okay. 100 grand bar. I haven't heard. That's a good old school candy.
I'm going to have to go with. Damn. In no particular order, Paydays, Peanut Butter Twix, the Fave Red Starburst, Sour Gummy Worms. I don't know, man. Damn.
That's only three.
Wait, what?
That's only three.
That's four.
Was that four?
That was four. I think it's four. Eh,
I can't count.
We'll pretend in post. But number five or four, whatever it is, you know, I just had it, too. It's gone now. Damn. Oh, yes. Vanilla Laffy Taffy, the blue one.
Oh, that's amazing. Wow.
That's a good candy.
Huh.
Or man. The blue Tootsie Rolls, you know? They're not actually blue. They have like a blue wrapper. Man. Those are top notch.
That's pretty dope. I can rock with that.
So, yeah, that's pretty much how the show goes, Khalif, Steph. Unless you guys have anything else, I'm feeling pretty good.
I mean, I
just wanted to thank you.
I'm thinking we should start a whole separate podcast just to talk about shitty candy.
We should do This Week in Racist Candy.
This Week in Racist. You know, that's a shame that we'd have more than one episode of that.
Right? Right? Think about it. It could be like how they did the ESPN OJ thing where they had like a mini series. You could do it on like podcast Netflix and just do all the episodes and then have people binge listen. It would be dope.
Oh man, like, be like Scandal. Not Scandal. What the hell was it? It's that podcast that was a show.
Serial.
Serial, yeah. We would have a Serial podcast about racist Serial mascots.
Yeah, you would have so much. You'd have so much stuff in there.
Oh man. Like, Lucky's probably not great, but apparently Irish people don't get upset about leprechauns, is what I was told. that's just what I was told, and I don't have enough Irish to really make a fuss about it. Sure, people are already tired of hearing about me complaining about race stuff, but, you know, it's not like I'm sitting down during the national anthem, so I guess I don't gotta worry about people getting mad at me, so I guess I'll be fine.
Shout out to Colin Kaepernick. I love you, bro.
Shout out to that dude, man. Man, if Colin Kaepernick is listening to this podcast, yo, man.
You gotta be the next guest.
Yo, come talk to us, man. We don't hate you. In fact, I rooted for y'all when y'all was playing against the Ravens until Beyonce shut the stadium down and then nobody had a chance anymore.
That was it, yeah. Everybody were like, what football? What? Why?
Yo, why are they playing football at this Beyonce concert?
Basically.
Man, do either of you watch the VMAs while we're just chatting a little bit?
I heard about, I kind of stay away from music video award shows because BET ruined me back in the day. but I just heard the kind of things that were being posted. And it was like Beyonce and Tiana.
It's not Tiana Taylor?
Tiana Taylor, yep.
Oh, in the Kanye video.
Yeah, and
with the cat face, man.
I was like, what is happening? What is going on right now? What did
hashtag
I just run into?
Kanye is confirmed as a furry.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
He did that bird girl in his video. Kanye is definitely a furry. You guys heard it here first. Kanye West is a furry.
That's who you should try to get on the show next.
Man. Yo, we're going to advertise it. We gave Kanye West 45 minutes to say whatever he wanted. Take that, MTV. What y'all got on us?
Oh, man. That'll be the longest 45 minutes of your life.
Look, he's making a game, man. You guys can have him on spawn on me, man.
We've been trying to get him. It's just hard to snag. It's hard to get him because he just has so many handlers and stuff like that. But I'm really interested to hear about his game. Like, I really want to know about the game that he's supposed to be
making. I think everybody does. Like, I have got to see that, man. That dude's on another level. I don't know if it's good or bad level, but I don't know.
That's exactly what it is. We don't know what level it is.
Hey, him and Jaden Smith are on another plane, man. Shout outs to those guys. But hey, it's been thanks a lot, man. Thanks, Klee, for joining us for this episode. This nice little hour and a half worth of chit-chat. Hope you didn't mind our prattling along, just talking about random stuff.
No, this is super dope. I'm happy we got a chance to hang out and finally get to talk face-to-face, quote-unquote. And talk about all the dope stuff that you guys are doing on the show. I'm really happy to have been here and wish you nothing but success for the show and everything that you two are doing in the future. If there's anything that we can do to help that along, please let us know.
Hey, man, if people are looking out for a show to guest on, point them our way. We are looking for, you know, we're trying to really reveal. I didn't mean to make a pun, but I've been sipping on this whiskey for a little bit. But you know, we're really trying to show the, like, the humanity of people, you know, like even thinking about all the stuff that happens online, people getting harassed. It's, you know, it's a lot harder to get mad at people when you put a face to it. I was watching the Nostalgia Critic's review on Ghostbusters, which he's a smart dude. So it pretty much came to, it's not great and it's not bad. It's not the original, but it's its own thing. So yeah, it's all right. But he does little sketches and, you know, he satiated the people like, if you like this movie, you hate the originals. And if you hate this movie, you're a misogynist. He's like, I got rid of all those people. But then there were like the men who were like, no, there's women. This is horrible. And he's like, hey, tell other this little girl on Skype who's really happy and all these girls are excited about it. And they're like, no, it doesn't really matter what we think. And it was a nice little joke, but it kind of is. It's so easy to talk shit on something when it's anonymous or it's not you or it's just like a face on a screen. But if someone's like, hey, that thing you're saying really hurts me, and I'm a person, I think it's a lot harder to be a piece of shit to them. And if anything, hopefully, I mean, the goal of this show, at least from my perspective, is to kind of, you know, put a personality to some of these. You know, it's, you know, I joke about making, meeting your heroes, you know, like, oh man, Adam Sessler's really cool, Lee's cool, Gita's cool, but I don't know anything about these people. And, you know, it seems easy to just say whatever you want about people until it's like, no, they have interests, they're people, they have feelings. And they become less of an idea and more of a person when you get to talk to them. And so I hope that's what the show gets to do. So that's awesome. You know anybody who wants to tell people the kind of person they are, that's always cool.
Dope. I will put the word out. I will definitely do so.
Hey, that's much appreciated, man. But in the meantime, would you like to tell the listeners where they can find you and all the dope, 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 dope stuff you do?
Thank you again for having me. I'm super happy that you rocked with me and had me on. If folks would like to become residents of Bricago, you can check us out at spawnon.me. We're on iTunes. We're on NPR One. We're on ESN.FM. We're doing that on the podcasting side. I am running another site that is dealing with the wonderful folks over at the No Man's Sky game. We're not affiliated with them, but I'm kind of showcasing and spotlighting folks over there who are doing dope work and sharing their discoveries at allourskies.com. And I want you guys to definitely check out what we're going to be doing every year during Martin Luther King weekend. We're going to be doing our charity event called Spawn for Good. The first one that we did tackled Black Lives Matters. And donated some money to them and to Erica Garner's family there. The second one that we did was for the National Network of Abortion Funds, and that was about women's reproductive rights. And the third one, we haven't figured out what we're going to do yet, but we hopefully want to make some change through gaming and make it dope for everybody. So thank you so much for having me, and definitely we'll see you all on the internets soon.
Cool, cool. Good stuff, man. Yeah, keep us in keep us in your thoughts for the Spawn for Good. I'd like to help out with that if at all possible.
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
And Steph, would you like to give these lovely listeners some insight to our social media business?
Absolutely. All right. So you can find Brother Dom pretty much anywhere he wants to be found at Brother Dom.
Hey.
And Twitter, Tumblr, pretty much any social network. You can find me on Tumblr at The Snow Queer. You can find me on Twitter at Captain Steph. You can find this podcast on Twitter at Character Rev. It's Character Rev, no spaces, two R's in the middle. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Character Reveal. You can find me and Dom both writing for the Lady Geek Girl and Friends blog, which is ladygeekgirl.wordpress.com. And you can follow our podcast at characterreveal.simplecast.fm.
Yep, we are making the moves, getting big, being cool. All the stuff that you want from your, you know, favorite neighborhood podcast. We want to say thanks again to Khalif for spending some time with us and all that. Go check out his stuff, check out our stuff, all that. So until next time, listeners, have a good one.
See you later.
Peace.